Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
.504 in the Fast Lane, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker headed down the stretch, our final hour of this edition of the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We gave away a pair of tickets today to the U.S. men's national team game against Uruguay. The game will be played next week on the 10th, a week from last night. Dave was the winner today, and we'll have another ticket giveaway tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. We do have Take It or Leave It coming up. Send your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. But before we get to that, the NFL season officially begins tomorrow night when the Bears play host to the Packers at Soldier Field. And with the big game in the history of the great rivalry, the 100-year anniversary of the NFL, Brett Favre sat down and talked some ball with a couple of Bears fans.
And let's talk about this rivalry, can we?
Well, the Bears were the NFL's signature team for years.
The Packers won 5 championships in 7 years and 2 Super Bowls.
Barry said, that is fake news,
fake
my
news.
Friend.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, well, let's ask the computer about that.
Yeah, good idea.
That's Mary Pat. Mary Pat, why don't you tell us who won the NFL title in the 60s?
In the 1960s, the Bears prevailed, winning the first 2 Super Bowls and hoisting up the Ditka Trophy.
The Ditka Trophy? It's the Lombardi Trophy.
Please, do not question the great man's powers. The 1985 Bears, the finest assemblage of humans ever put on this planet.
You guys won't shut up about the 85 Bears. Well, in Green Bay, we have so many championship teams. There's no one team that cashes in on reunions every year. Can you imagine someone just bringing out their tired old act and milking it year after year after year so they can squeeze every penny out of it?
Moving on.
I was 22-10 against the Bears.
That doesn't sound right.
Not accurate.
No. Mary Pat?
Mary Pat.
Brett Favre's record was -1-33 versus the Bears.
The Bears.
So this thing here doesn't recognize any of my achievements.
Of course it does, Jim Bob. Mary Pat, what are the Bumpkins' greatest records?
Brett Favre threw an almost impossible 336 career interceptions, often in crucial situations.
Answer?
That's nothing to sneeze at, Dale Jr.
Big record. Lean into it, my friend.
That's right.
That was comedy gold.
It's great. Brett Favre was so self-deprecating. By the way, we tweeted the video out on the 101 ESPN Fastlane Twitter page.
You got to see the whole thing.
Yeah,
and
so
there's one with Peyton Manning, too. Have you seen that one? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's great.
They get Peyton to say Packers suck at the end of it.
Yeah.
It's and by the way, 25% of people in Chicago do sound like that when they talk.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real thing.
Astute viewers watching helicopter coverage of Spain's La Vuelta bicycle race Saturday alerted police to a rooftop plantation of the devil's lettuce. Reuters reports that police seized 40 plants Tuesday in the town of Igualada, about 43 miles from Barcelona. Growing marijuana for personal use is legal in Spain. However, buying and selling remains a no-no, and no arrests have been made at this point. Take it or leave it, being a veteran watcher of Law and Order, you are aware that just because somebody saw it on TV doesn't give them the right to go in and raid the place. They need to get everything in order first.
Like a warrant?
A warrant would be helpful.
I take it.
Probable cause. I
got to have probable cause. It could have been grass. Yeah. Not that grass, but other grass.
It definitely was grass.
Yep. Leaves, something.
I think I'm going to take it.
So it's a helicopter that's just flying over, and they say, hey, that's pot. And
like,
people called in to the police and said.
Good eyes, Cheech.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. See, we know because we've watched.
Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
SVU.
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 Yep.
Law and Order Criminal Intent.
Gotcha.
They're all good.
There was a Law and Order LA for the last year or so. Yeah, they were all good. You're right.
Do you think that the person that came up with is loaded?
Dick Wolf?
Just that right
that
there.
Part, oh, I don't think.
Be, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dick came up with that.
I'm sure that Dick's well off.
Probably.
You know, from that show.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. All right. So, as we just mentioned right there in the lead-in, tomorrow there is NFL football. It's happening. It's Packers. It's Bears. And the Packers, it's Aaron Rodgers, prolific offense potentially. It's the Bears. It's the best defense. Take it or leave it. One of the biggest storylines is going to be Eddie Pinheiro.
Take it.
Take it.
I'm going to take it. And he's the kicker for the Bears.
Uh-oh. Who do you replace?
I think it's a Doink. Doink?
Yeah.
Double.
Do you have to?
No, I forget his name. Oh, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Cody.
It's Cody. Doinky. Yep.
Bucks didn't even want him. That's how good he is.
Well, he's not a basketball player, you know.
Son of a. Not the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh.
The Buccaneers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's only a Buccaneer. All right, so Rick Carpiniello, who covers hockey for The Athletic, with this tweet this afternoon. Per impeccable source, Pierre Maguire has been removed from NBC Sports' number one hockey team to be replaced by Brian Boucher. Take it or leave it, this one got a lot of likes.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm just a huge Boucher fan. Hell of a linebacker.
Bobby Boucher.
Different guy.
Alligators have all them teeth because they got all them teeth and no toothbrush to brush them with.
Yeah. That's
Bobby. This is Brian, his brother.
Yeah, that's the water boy. Right.
I'll take it. It probably did. Peter Angelo is going to be upset.
He's going to be really upset. People
and that
really...
boiling cauldron of sound will not be happy.
Yeah. People really, really dislike Pierre Maguire.
Do they like Boucher?
Oh, they're going to love him.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
That is good commentary right there, and I can't wait to hear that stuff. But just hockey, he could do both sports.
Take it or leave it, people would rather hear that.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Take it or leave it. You'd take West Virginia plus 14 on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely take it.
Yeah, I'll take that. Is that the line?
13.5 right now, according to ESPN. Wow.
I might tease it up to 20 just to be safe. You know,
not a bad idea.
You know, but...
Take it or leave it, Marp will be in the lineup full-time come postseason.
Leave it, dude.
Ooh, yeah, I'll leave that.
Unless he just tears it up down the stretch, he gets an opportunity, he gets hot and he runs, then great, throw him in there. But as things are currently standing, leave it.
It is still, I think, the situation stands. If he's given a night to play and he goes like 3 for 4 in that night, he needs to play the next day. And you continue to ride that until he stops doing it. So in that case... If he does go on an unbelievable tear, I don't think you can take him out.
Interesting one from the text line here. Hotshot text line 65780. Take it or leave it, Jim Abbott was a handful as a child.
Oh, come on.
I'll take it.
I'm going to leave it. I think he seems very mild-mannered and gentleman. I'm going to leave it.
Just one handful?
Yeah,
is that what you're getting at?
Probably. Yeah, okay. Yeah, probably.
I got you.
Take it or leave it, August Jack Flaherty is just as good as playoff Mad Bum.
I'm going to have to leave that.
I mean, numbers-wise, that's about the same thing that you get.
Yeah.
But just overall wow factor, I still got to leave it.
And think about the teams that Mad Bum was going against
in
the playoffs as opposed to the teams, all due respect, that Flaherty has been pitching against.
Take it or leave it, if Buffalo Wild Wings had a wing-eating contest, Joe West could out-eat meat.
Oh,
leave it.
Oh, yeah.
I got you, meat.
Thank you.
You know what?
Respect.
What Joe West likely doesn't have is stamina.
That's
no.
right.
In a competition like that, you got to be able to move quickly.
I don't have stamina either, to be fair.
No, you're going
to
be fine. That's right.
Never mind, mm-hmm. I do. Okay.
Yeah. Can do that all night.
Joe West might just keep eating because he wouldn't be able to get up from the table.
Well, he's probably got a game to umpire.
Take it or leave it, Michael Wacha goes 5 strong tonight against the Giants.
Leave it.
I'm just going to leave it due to the fact that he's on a shorter leash because he's on short rest. I think it's going to be hard for him to get to 5 innings.
You know what? I shouldn't have looked at the text line.
What'd it say?
Take it or leave it, Abbott made money hand over fist.
Leave it.
I'm going to have to leave it.
I will leave it. Guess it'd be hand over nothing, right?
Saw another one in here. Jim Abbott, hands down, the best no-hitter ever.
Why are you guys being jerks? It's pretty much one of the most incredible feats ever, you know?
It's just not nice.
No, it's not. By the way, the Jim Abbott stuff came up because on this date in 1993, he threw a no-hitter.
He did.
All right?
Yep.
Damn it.
And take it or leave it, old people prefer bingo over slot machines.
I'm going to take it because it's cheaper.
I'm going to leave it. Penny slots, man. Old people love penny slots.
They really do, because you could sit there all day.
For sure. Bingo. Bingo is, shockingly fun. I enjoy bingo.
I like the little pen or whatever it is they give you.
Yeah,
with the
dauber
stamp.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
I think so. Did you say Dahmer?
I don't think so. I'm not trying to murder these things. Well, my kid's school did like a glow bingo thing last year. It was like a fundraiser. Apparently, they do all the time where it's like neon lights.
Ooh, that's probably fun.
That was like a party. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Have the slot machines lost their appeal since they don't actually dish out the money anymore? Like the money doesn't drop itself?
No, it's way better that way. Who wants to pick up a bunch of coins? Like, look at all these coins I got.
I think
it looks cool.
Some people might like seeing
it. It sounds cool when you have the do-do-do-do-do. All you care about is your money, don't you?
Yeah,
Then you don't have to touch that dirty cash that's sitting there, too. Not a germaphobe, but cash is
gross.
The dirtiest thing in the world. Well, poop. Then cash.
Sometimes there's poop on cash.
That's pretty much every time, actually. And cocaine, apparently. A lot of coke on cash. Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, because you have to, that's how you use it to, right.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
Never mind. I don't think we should be giving people lessons.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Next up, the Cardinals have Paul DeJong essentially come out of nowhere and transform into an everyday player. Is Tommy Edman the next on that list? We've got that next on 101 ESPN. Dan McLaughlin on Cardinal rookie Tommy Edman. The Cardinals are 35-17 when Edman starts a game. I think that's a pretty good statistic, especially when you look at where they were at the All-Star break. First of all, it's surprising that he has started that many games, that he started 52 games. But the Cardinals have played their best ball when Tommy Edman has been in the lineup.
Yeah, what I like about Tommy Edman is, a lot of the things you hear Dan talking about, but he's so versatile, and his numbers don't jump off the page. You don't look at his line and be like, see right there, that's the reason why. But he does a lot of little things for you. He handles the bat so well. It doesn't appear just being around Tommy, and you don't have to be around him to notice it. You just watch the games. That the situation, whether it is the first at-bat in a game he's taken of a nothing-nothing ball game, or if the Cardinals are up or down by 10, or it's the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning and the score is tied and there's a runner on, he takes the same type of at-bats. He doesn't try to do too much. He doesn't let the situation get too big. And to me, that is something that is incredibly hard to do for a young player. And it's impressive that he's been able to do it. And his defense has been stellar wherever you put him.
I think it's tougher for a young player who is asked to come in and immediately produce because the team needs him to do it. Because the team is in the middle of a playoff race, and it's not like if you're Gavin Lux getting called up with the Dodgers, you're part of a mix of guys who are just, that's an incredible lineup, and the pitching staff is good, and they're so far ahead in their division, all they're doing is really prepping for the playoffs. there's not a, I mean, there's pressure on him to perform, but it's not, we need you to help us get to the playoffs kind of pressure.
You've got boppers already.
Yes.
You'll just do something.
Yes. So he can just kind of be whatever he is, and he doesn't really have to worry about that. But for Tommy Edman, he's part of a mix, and doing so in front of a fan base that was that is clamoring for somebody to be better than Matt Carpenter was.
Right.
And they're basically saying, you've got to do better than this. We need you, kid.
And we might be looking at Edman as a Carpenter replacement. But Danny Mac says Cardinals feel like they have more of a secret weapon.
I would not pigeonhole him to be an everyday player at third or at short or at second or in the outfield. I love the fact that he can play all over the diamond. And that's how I would use him, because then it allows you to give you flexibility injury, or if a guy's in a rut or whatever you want to do. But he's a winning type player, and he does a lot of good things well. And those kind of guys are fun to be around and fun to watch.
He can do it all. He played a representative enough right field so that he didn't cost you games. I thought he made me feel more comfortable playing right field than Jose Martinez does, put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. We get a couple of texts in, too. The first one is just says, Edman hustles his ass off. That's fun to watch. Agreed. Like, he does play the game that way. I feel the same way about Harrison Bader, and he's been just playing way better. The next one, though, is interesting. It says, do you think that the fielding, the speed, the smart play make up for the low on-base percentage for Tommy Edman? For the season, his on-base percentage is .310. It's been a lot better this month, though.
Yep.
Or not this month of September, but in August, it was a .339 OBP. Not like fantastic, not great.
It's certainly acceptable.
It is, especially with Colton Wong and Dexter Fowler. That's your 1-2 is Fowler Wong.
Correct.
And you have Tommy Edman batting a little bit lower in the lineup. What he's doing for you is great.
The problem was when he was batting second, at least for me, and I think a lot of people.
The OBP didn't match.
Right. It's not a good spot for him to be. And they rectified that. They moved him down. And I know they were scoring runs before it happened, but I have to imagine at least part of their ability to score a lot in the last couple to 3 weeks has something to do with the way they're lining everybody up and they're putting him in the correct positions.
And he's a smart guy. And the fact that he is a Stanford product, that doesn't mean he's baseball smart, but you can tell by watching him play that he's got a baseball IQ and he understands what needs to be done. It's not all the time, especially with a young player that just arrives from the minors, that he goes with the ball where he should all the time. I haven't seen Tommy Edman make an egregious baseball mistake yet.
No, I really don't think that you will. I mean, maybe there will be something where he tries to do too much. That's one thing. You do see that sometimes with younger players is not a big mental mistake necessarily, but a physical one that turns into two physical ones.
Trying like to impress.
Or a play that you bobble and then you make an errant throw because you're trying to make up for
right.
it. Maybe you'll see something like that one of these days out of him. But no, he does. And I think it goes back to the calmness that's around him that we were talking about in the at-bats that he takes. He takes those out to the field as well. Base running, he makes he makes smart plays. Like, he's very thoughtful. And I think that he's a student of it also. Smart kid, again. He went to Stanford, and we know how much the Cardinals, and not just the Cardinals, baseball, digs into analytics and numbers and scouting reports. And there is so much information in a clubhouse on a given day. I think that Tommy Edman is one of those guys that can take that information, can retain it, and can actually utilize
it.
Yes. No, it's baseball.
Oh,
process it.
Okay.
And, put it out there into action.
Yeah, and the bottom line is they're going to have to continue to get this from him. And I know, Randy, you said the thing earlier that was concerning you the most. If there was one major concern with this team in the final month, it's how does the offense do? Because they've been so good for about 3 weeks or so. I mean, like, really, really good. They've been better than almost anybody else in the National League offensively. He has been a part of that. He's not a massive part of it, but he's going to kind of have to continue, I think, because I don't know if we can expect everybody that's been as good as they have to the level they have, with the exception of Colton Wong. I believe that what he's doing is pretty much him. There's going to be a little bit of drop-off probably from some individuals, which means guys like Edman are going to have to pick it up a little bit.
And he's a guy of all of those young players, because of the fact that he had to play at a high level in college and had to deal with a lot of those things that he's an underdog player. He's already faced adversity. He's dealt with a lot of the stuff that players have to deal with in September. So I have a lot of confidence in him to be able to do it, at least from an emotional, mental level. Is he going to be able to hold up physically? Has he ever had to play 6 months before? We haven't seen that. So that's what we'll find out in September.
Yeah, we will. We will for sure. But he's checked all the boxes to this point. I still believe, I know, in September, when it comes to offensive stuff, Tommy Edman's not going to be the guy that carries you. If you're going to get carried, it's going to be by Ozuna. It's going to be by Goldschmidt. But Tommy Edman will serve a significant role down the stretch.
Yeah, he's going to have to contribute. He's not by any means going to be the bulk of the offense. He hasn't been, but he's going to have to do something. I think that's the bottom line.
The NFL season officially kicks off tomorrow night, and we're going to have some of our NFL quick hits next on 101. In our final segment, we want to know what you learned today. What did you learn today? It doesn't have to be something from our show. We'd prefer that that be the case. But be glib, be fun, have a good time, and tell us with the 101 ESPN mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app what you learned today. That'll be our final segment of this afternoon.
I believe it's how we're going to end a lot of shows from here on
out. Yeah, what we learned, it is.
Oh, and by the way, we're done at 6.
Yeah.
For people who didn't know, we're 2 to 6.
Oh, 2 to 6, yeah, we didn't start at 3. It kind of feels like it. But
that's our new time slot.
Yeah. Right now, we're going to get some NFL quick hits from Big Sizz.
Fellas, what will be the most compelling division battle in the NFL this year?
Oh, I'm not sure this one's close. I got a couple that I'm interested in, but the AFC North.
There you go.
That's going to be really good.
That's the one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, look at all the hype surrounding the Cleveland Browns, and rightfully so. You got Baker. You've got Odell Beckham Jr. You got so many different things going for you over there. That's exciting. The Steelers are still the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Without Le'Veon, which they were without last year, without AB, they're still the Steelers. And Baltimore won the division, you know? So that is a toss-up over there this year.
And what does Lamar Jackson look like? In that offense, how do they decide to use him? Does he run as much as Harbaugh says they're going to run? And does he lose that battle because it sounds like he doesn't want to? Now, I don't want this to sound biased in any way.
Sure, you can.
But I think the NFC North is going to be as well. And there are a number of different reasons. You wonder how much longer Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers. You have to wonder about the Lions, who are... they're just never quite there, even though they have some promise. And I think a lot of the division it'll be determined by how good Mitch Trubisky is. And does he take a step forward? And if he does, I would think the Bears dominate the division. But if he doesn't do that, it might be up in the air.
Well, I do agree with BT that the AFC North is the most compelling one. I do think the rivalry that intensified a little bit today between the Eagles and the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott coming back.
For sure.
I think that that's really going to be an interesting race because those are two really talented teams, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of them can. Those would be my two favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, those are the two teams where Dallas has gone for broke. I mean, they're going for it right now. We were hitting on that with the Ezekiel Elliott stuff. You pay him that kind of money because you expect to go win a championship right now, whether you believe that Jason Garrett can get him there or not. Jerry does. So that's happening. And you also have the Eagles with Carson Wentz being back and no Nick Foles safety net now. I think that's an interesting one also.
Speaking of Zeke Elliott, the NFL's rushing leader will be?
Zeke Elliott, probably. Now that he's going to start week one, he's going to be there. There's not going to be an extended holdout. I think it's him. He took 363, I believe it was, or 365, somewhere in there, rushing snaps last year. So he's on the field a lot, and he's going to get the ball a lot in that sense. So I think it's going to be him.
Randy, who you got?
I think I'm going to – my initial thought was to go with Saquon Barkley. I'm going to go with Mark Ingram of the Baltimore Ravens.
It's a good one. You know they're going to run the rock a lot.
They are.
I like it.
Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, is the guy who had Frank Gore in San Francisco. He loves to run the ball, and so I'm going to go with the Ravens' Mark Ingram.
I'm going to go a little off the board here also. Saquon is Saquon was healthy all year. He was great. He's going to have to be great again for them to be good. But I'm going Joe Mixon.
Good call.
As the guy. I know the Bengals have a chance to be playing from behind a lot, which makes it hard to run the ball. But that's how the offense is going to have to run through. It's going to have to be through Mixon. They're going to have to control the game, control the clock, and Mixon will be a big part of that, and he's going to get his.
But really the answer is Nick Chubb.
Not a bad call. That's not a bad call at all. By the way, before the next question, interesting that we all picked AFC North guys.
Well, it's going to be an interesting division, right?
Yeah.
Your Super Bowl representatives for each conference.
I'm taking, I said Philly and Dallas, and I'm going to take Philadelphia in the NFC. And I think until further notice, you got to go with New England in the AFC. Hate to do it, but I'm going to. Sorry, Big Sis.
Yeah, it's all right.
Raj, what do you got?
I'm still Patriots in the AFC. Sorry, Meat. I apologize for that.
I guess the Bears in the NFC.
I want to say yes, but I really don't know if I feel confident. Okay, that's enough. They don't have a kicker.
Push right over the edge.
It's going to be the Saints.
I like the Saints call.
I believe in Saints. Still got a good quarterback. That's I like that whole thing they've done there. And the only reason they didn't go last year is because they got screwed.
That's true. That is true. I'm going to pick the Patriots as well. So let's make it a trifecta with the Patriots from the AFC side.
Sorry, Nate.
And well, I was going to go along your lines with the Saints, but I have another team that I like anyhow, so I'm going to go that direction. I'm going to go Seattle as the representative because we know they're Russell Wilson's one of the best around. They've got a good ground game with Carson. They got Rashad Penny behind him. Defense, while it's not the Legion of Boom, it's okay. It's pretty good.
Big move, and they picked
up Clowney. Yeah, I mean, I think that really changes the way. And if Clowney is motivated, if he doesn't have that little lazy tendency that kind of happens sometimes for him, if
yes,
they're able
does.
To get him there in Seattle and where he's motivated all the time, I think that they have a good chance of it. Maybe the Rams win the division still, but they could be a wild card team and go on a run.
And by the way, the reason that I didn't pick the Chiefs is because New England does it every year. I honestly do think the Chiefs are offensively a juggernaut, but until somebody can beat New England, that's why I said until further notice, I'm going with the Patriots.
I'm not picking against New England because I feel like we've been picking against them for the last 5 years and they still find a way to do it.
Yeah.
So there's no other logical way to look at it than until further notice, it is the New England Patriots.
The quarterback who is most likely to retire at the end of the season.
Philip Rivers.
Ooh, good.
Philip Rivers is in his last year of this current deal. He's been beat up the last couple of years. He's had to battle through injuries. He hasn't looked like the same exact guy. I could see Philip Rivers just saying, you know what, I'm good. The only thing that leads me to believe that he's going to continue playing is the fact that he's got 17 children and probably doesn't want to be home all the time. That's the only thing.
I'm going to go with the guy drafted in the same draft. I'm going to go with Eli.
It's a great one. That's way more logical.
That's a great, you know what, that's what I'm going to go with too. I mean,
they've got his replacement.
Yes.
Could you see Drew Brees hanging him up?
I could.
He's got one more year left, right?
I think this is his. Or is this 2019? I think so.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he's always talked about, at least people say that he's talked about getting into the real world
sure.
because his classmates at Harvard are making more than he is.
Well, if the Saints win the Super Bowl this year, I do think he's done. I think Drew Brees would. Why would you not? Why would you not just say, you know what? I did the best I could possibly do. I won the whole thing. I'm out. That's a really good call.
The first coach to get canned.
I think this is a two-man race, and I think it's in the NFC East. And I'm going to take Jay Gruden by
a
nose over Jason Garrett.
Yep.
Oh, man. I think that Jason Garrett has got something on Jerry Jones, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he must. Yeah.
I don't know how he's kept this as long as he has. God dang it, man. I don't know who I want to pick here. Got a couple of options. I want to go with a big one.
You think Dan Quinn's on the hot seat at all?
Yes. I think they have to win.
And I kind of agree with you on Jason Garrett. I think Gruden is the obvious choice just because of where he is. And it's so volatile there to begin with. But for Garrett, you just gave your running back a ton of money. You've got a quarterback that's probably going to get paid soon, too. And you have an owner who wants to win. Mm-hmm. And he's tired of not winning. So, and by winning, I mean winning Super Bowls. He's tired of not doing that. So if you don't do something this year.
I'm going to give you an off the wall one. While it's not the most likely one, that if this season, even though they've lost a couple of pieces, if it goes downhill and there's the dysfunction that was there potentially last year, Mike Tomlin.
Ooh, I like
that's
that
a very
lot.
Good call.
I don't like it because Mike Tomlin, I think he's
I like him too.
Awesome.
But it's
yep.
good. It's
been around a long time.
It's not out of the realm of possibility at all. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And coming up next, it's time to hear from you. What did you learn today? Send us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app or shoot us a text with the Hot Shots text line 65780. We're going to find out what you learned today next on 101 ESPN. All right, it's time for what we learned today. We want your text 65780. Guys, what I learned is that what we learned as kids does not apply if you're a great athlete. If you're a great athlete, don't stay in school and don't stay on the right side of the police. Because even if you don't stay in school, even if you don't stay on the right side of the police, you can get a $90 million contract with $50 million guaranteed.
Oh, man.
If you're a great athlete.
Yeah, I would call that an outlier. I would say, kids, you might want to just stay in school and do all the right things. But there's always somebody that can break the rules a little bit and do their thing. I learned today during this show that the all time I felt as comfortable with a Cardinal starting
I'm
pitcher.
I'm sorry, the what?
The all time.
Oh, I think you mean the last time.
It's not what it said at the beginning of the show. The beginning of the show said, when was the all time the Cardinals had a pitcher where every night you knew you just needed a run or two? And I found out the all time I felt like that was Adam Wainwright in 2014. It's been a while since I've had the confidence in a starting pitcher that I have currently in Jack Flaherty. He has been unbelievable. He has been a rock. He's been an ace. He's been a number one. He's been whatever else you want to call the guy that you want pitching every single night. And he's been amazing. I can't remember, even before that, the all's time. The all's time before that was probably Carpenter in 05.
Dominant.
Yeah.
He's your win day guy. And every time he's out there, you feel like all you need is one. Just get us one, brother, and he'll win that ball game. He's been exceptional in the last couple of months of the season. I learned today, fellas, via the text line that Jeffrey Dahmer ate five guys before it was a restaurant.
That's funny. I mean, not really these guys.
No, not those guys.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers. That was really good. Somebody text that
today? We got a... Every now and then, we get some really brilliant texts. That was a good one.
That was sensational.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I mean, I did.
Big Sis, what did you learn?
I learned that none of you are invited to my Chiefs Super Bowl party when they win because you all picked the Patriots.
When was the all's time they won the Super Bowl?
1969.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Oh, it's an anniversary.
Give it a while.
From
the Hot Shots text line 65780, I learned Brett Favre was -1-33 against the Bears in his career.
Brett Favre's record was -1-33 versus the Bears.
The Bears.
Not a great record against the Bears.
I mean, that's hard to do.
How do you get into the Hall of Fame like that?
He did have another record with all the interceptions that they played the video to, which was impressive.
Today I learned that my boss is an idiot. Just kidding. I learned that every day.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
I'm glad he didn't say where he works.
I mean, that's not you.
No, not me. Not me. From the text line.
Yeah, from the text line.
65780.
We'll save that audio just in case he gets out of line, though.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I learned today that my wife really did not want an answer when she asked if she looked big in her pants.
Ooh.
You just learned that. You have to answer it, and the answer is no hesitation, too. No hesitation. You look amazing. You look great. You don't need a world of trouble. You answer the question. And you certainly don't start it with,
No, you are
do
unequivocal.
Not, yeah, don't hesitate.
Not really?
You're right. You're right.
Not super big.
Super big.
What did Alan learn
smaller.
Today?
What?
What did Alan learn today?
Yo! Fastlane! It's Alan! Cardinal Nation already knows this. But you know what the Giants learned? That Flaherty is a bad, bad man. He is a bad man right now. Best pitcher in the NL right now. Barbs!
From the Hot Shots text line 65780, I learned today to never, ever, ever again trust a fart away from home.
Oh, that's a, see, yep.
Yeah,
gotta
you
be
better
careful
not do
with that.
That.
Yep. Yep.
That's not good. That is not good. That's a bad feeling to have where you're just the old, the yep, that's too much.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
That was just the chair. I'm sure. Yep. Well,
maybe tried some new probiotics or something. Really weren't settling, or maybe you had some street meat in Mexico.
Careful.
Like that, nobody in this room's done it. Right. Oh.
I learned today that Jim Abbott probably likes bingo more than penny slots because the handle is on the right hand side.
Come on. Come on.
Good point.
No, it's not a good point. You don't even pull the handle anymore. You just press a button.
Oh, press a button. Okay, you're right. Sorry about that.
Let's go with that.
I learned that the guy in the mall was just tying his shoes and did not want to play a game of leapfrog.
What? Okay.
I want that to be true.
I really do.
That I would crack the hell up if I saw that. If I saw somebody tie their shoe and then somebody leapfrog them in the mall.
That'd be very funny.
What if somebody leapfrogged over you while you were
great.
Tying your shoe?
You know, I'd laugh, I think.
I think I would, too.
What about Connor?
I get it.
Huh.
Very funny. Thanks, Connor.
That's not
good
bad.
Stuff. Yep.
That is not bad.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
That's our producer, Brad Barnes.
Yeah, well, can't wait for that.
Well, the Giants, I mean, their season is basically over. I mean, what is their approach even right now? That's probably what they're saying.
Oh, good God. Man. Yeah. Who would say something like that?
Ron.
You did.
Guys, it's just over 24 hours from kickoff. Oh, damn it.
Mike Ryder, our board operator. And we have Major League Baseball. We have Minnesota and Boston coming up here on 101 ESPN. So you'll enjoy that. The Red Sox and the Twins. For all of us, thanks for texting in, tuning in, and being a part of the show. Till tomorrow at 2. Good night, St. Louis.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.